Mystery Babylon is our subject today on Chapter and Verse. We'll begin with this introduction from Mike McIntosh.
Upon her forehead was her name written, and this is it: Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Stop right there. That tells you a bundle. Mystery Babylon. Okay, we accept it's a mystery. We understand Babylon, but this is Babylon the Great. It is the mother of all abominations and spiritual harlotry on the earth. Whatever this system is the root of all the evil on the planet today.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus.
Counterfeit church is a clever strategy used by Satan to confuse and distort the work of the real church. There's no reason for hell to change this approach. It's worked for thousands of years, and we find in the book of Revelation that it will be effective right to the end of this age. Destruction of Babylon the Great is our topic today on Chapter and Verse Radio. So let's turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation and join Mike McIntosh.
Well, we're in Chapter 17, 18 tonight are dealing with Babylon the Great. And some of you have heard some of these things before, but verse 1 and 2, he says, this is what we're going to do. So, in verse 3, he carried me away in the Spirit. So it's going to be a spiritual interpretation. You're going to see through the eyes of the Spirit. Into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet, which is bright red, of course, a scarlet-covered beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now this appears to be the structure that the Antichrist is using. So she is a system that the Antichrist is going to build from, and we're going to see it turns into a religious system to deceive the people. It is man worshiping power. It's man worshiping self, making the system that the devil designed so powerful to deceive everybody, but that people would worship him and his system. So it's all fake. So here we get this picture of horns, which is important for us to look at. She's sitting on this beast. He has seven heads, which a head is a kingdom, ten horns, so now it has a powerful ten nations that are under seven leaders. They just had what's called the G7 meeting this week. The G7 is the seven most powerful governments in the world. There's also a G10 and a G20, and now G-whiz, because Iran has just signed with China and Russia and Saudi Arabia, that controls a lot of the oil. And they are breaking the world away and meeting. The last 2 weeks, they've been meeting with France, Venezuela, all over the world to break away from the U.S. dollar, which will collapse the United States. And this system of heads and horns is popping up right in front of our eyes. So he's going to reveal it all. The woman was arrayed in purple, and purple is the color of royalty, and scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So now we get this flashy, glitzy-looking picture. A lot of flash, a lot of bling. And in the book I mentioned to you last week, The Two Babylons by Mr. Hyslop, the Babylonian Empire was one huge empire. Nebuchadnezzar ruled over it for quite some time. And then he got proud, just like this system is. And he stood on his balcony one morning and says, behold, Babylon, Babylon, the great that I have birthed I'm in control of it. And the Lord laughed at him. And he said, this day you'll spend 7 years of your life, seven seasons, rolling in the grass with the beasts of the field and the dew of the early morning. And your hair will grow out like eagle's feathers, and your fingernails will look like bird claws. You'll go totally insane. And all of a sudden, he lost his mind. He ended up losing his kingdom. He lived out in the wilderness. He never took care of himself, and he looked like a beast. He looked like a wild, crazy animal. And then he cried out, and God touched him and gave him his mind back, gave him his power back, gave him his kingdom back, and he began to praise the Lord. It always reminds us that what you think is going well right now could change within an instant if our heart is not right. And if it's the best thing for God to poke you in the heart and say, I want to talk to you, then let him do it. You don't want to go the other direction. So this woman, her name was Semiramis. She was married to Nimrod. Nimrod is in the book of Genesis. They had a son named Tammuz. Tammuz was a bad guy. He was born on December 25th. Semiramis said she was a virgin in that she was the mother of God. And they started a religion around Tammuz. And he was a sex image. He was a hunter. His father was a hunter. He was a hunter. And it says that Easter time, we get Easter, he was mauled by either a bear or a lion and was dead and out of everybody's reach for 3 days and three nights. He came back alive, came out of the wilderness, and they started the Easter season, the spring season. So then they started worshiping eggs being colored and rabbits. And whatever bunnies and colored eggs doesn't make any sense, but both mean prolific and multiplying. Rabbits, if you've never had a couple of rabbits, thank God. If you understand the colored painted eggs and all that, it's all to worship the system and the guy that somewhat started it. The sad thing is, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, right around maybe verse 10 or 12, somewhere in that area, it mentions it looking at the house of the Lord, and he's speaking also about the end times, that the women were worshiping an idol of Tammuz and weeping over him. And God judged it because of the sexual, lustful attitude of the people in the house of the Lord. And it's very sad how this is so subtle, but the devil has met his match in God, and it's going to all stop. So she holds a golden cup, and you'll see pictures from early art of a woman, and she will be arrayed in beautiful robes. She'll be sitting there holding a golden cup. You can see it on coins. And this is what he's now saying, is that it's full of the fornication of her blasphemy and all the horrible things, the filthiness of her self. But it looks like she's really together and drinking some fancy wine. Upon her forehead was a great name written, and this is it: Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. Stop right there. That tells you a bundle. Mystery Babylon. Okay, we accept it's a mystery. We understand Babylon. But this is Babylon the Great. It is the mother of all abominations and spiritual harlotry on the earth. Whatever this system is the root of all the evil on the planet today. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now this system hates Christianity. This system hates Jewish people. Isn't that interesting? He started the Old Testament teachings about the Jewish people, and they were his chosen people. And he gave them his promised land. But then he starts judging them because they go away and they get involved in the world system. Then he brings up the cross, forgiveness of sins, but he gives an opportunity for people like you and me to call out to his name, and he'll save us, and he'll forgive us, and he'll heal us, and give us a fresh start in life. And this system, much like, I've been to Cuba, I've been to, not North Korea, been to several communist countries, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of Christians. I think one young man came through China, and we met him in Burma, now Myanmar, and he had a scar from his cheekbone on down to his chin. I was 34 or 5 years old at the time. He was probably that or maybe a couple of years younger than me. He had walked 2 weeks through the jungles to get from China to meet us in Burma. 2 weeks he walked. And he gets there, and we were in a hut that was on stilts. And that hut had a family in it, and that was maybe 6 people. There might have been in this hut for 6, so there might have been 25 of us that day. And they had people posted at each end of this dirt road. So if the secret police or anybody came, they could give signals and everybody would be out of that place. So I'm listening to his story, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Well, we were there to get 1 million Bibles into China. It took 2 747s. It took a couple of speedboats to come off of the big boat, the tugboat, took a tugboat, took a submergible barge, and then all the Bibles wrapped, and then the barge was taken to a beach and then sunk when the tide went out, and 20,000 Christians from China came and got all those Bibles. They picked up in backpacks. They had boxes. They had bicycles, tricycles. I think one guy could have had a unicycle. They were going to get these Bibles no matter what. I mean, they would go to jail if not be killed, caught with this whole operation going on. And we were meeting him because he had 1,000 fellowships that he personally had started in overseas, that he would go to these towns. So they catch him and arrest him one day, and they tell him they're going to kill him. But if he will stand up in the city town square and tell all the people that the Bible is a lie and that there is no God, there is no Jesus, then they'll let him go free. And he said, I can't do that. And they said, well, you better do it. So he got up and he said to this town, I don't know how many hundreds of people, but he said to them, they have promised me I could live if I told you that Jesus and the Bible are a lie and there's no God. But that's a lie. There is a God, and Jesus is his son, and he died on the cross for your sins, and he'll forgive you of your sins if you'll just confess your sins. And they hit him, kicked him, hit him with a rifle butt, and it split his face open. Never did have one stitch put into it, so it was pretty gnarly looking. I sat there looking at him, and we'd given him all sorts of Bibles, and I had one small one in my jacket, and I waited till the end. And I said, I want to ask you a question. I handed to him. As he took it, I pulled me tug of war, and he realized I was just checking him out. So I said, what happened to you after that? Well, they put me in prison. And then what? They had to move me from the prison because I led everybody in my cell block to the Lord. And they put me in another cell block, and I led them to the Lord. So they moved me to another one. And finally, they said, get away from us. We don't ever want to see you. And that's what I was so touched by his zeal for the gospel. And then I let go of the Bible, and he said, I need to ask you a question. Yes, sir. Is it true? Now, this would have been 1976, somewhere in there. He said, is it true that in America, the young men and women are using drugs? I've just heard this story, and he's concerned about the young men and women in America. I said, yes, sir, it's very, very true. Not anything compared to what's going on today, but it was bad in the 70s. And he said, would you go back to America and tell the young men and women the Christians in China are praying for them? Now, there's a real Christian. I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people like that that have suffered and show the scars for suffering for Jesus. And so this system comes along and it grabs us in Sunday school or somewhere that's twisted the gospel. It gets us in preschool, gets us in some kind of public education, and it lies to us. And so we grow up because our parents grew up and their parents grew up with the system. So that when it says drunken with the blood of saints, that's going on right now around the world. Many of your brothers and sisters on the Arabian Peninsula are tortured. North Korea, tortured, tortured, tortured. So I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, what's she talking about? The angel said to me, wherefore do you marvel? Why? Well, I'll tell you the mystery. The woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not. He's not here now. But he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So he's coming out of hell. He was at one time. He's not right now. But he shall come out of the bottomless pit. And then he will go into perdition for hell, torture for eternity. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, who are these people that will wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. So if you don't have God's wisdom, and you don't understand how much God loves you, you'll be trapped, and they're talking about maybe weeks or months, not years anymore, of the whole thing collapsing. Everybody's going to say, well, I want to eat food. Well, you have to have a mark on your right hand or your forehead. We don't know who you people are. That's strange when we've let millions come across our border and we don't know who they are. And there's thousands of little boys and girls from South America that are missing, and our government doesn't even know where they are. They've been sold into sex slavery, human trafficking. I remember seeing a U.S. congressman go to Oklahoma to a detention center where several hundred children being kept, and he and his staff showed up, and the guard would not let him in. He said, I'm the congressman of the United States of America from this area. You open the gate now, Buster. He said, sorry, you're not coming in here. That was under the Obama administration. There's thousands of kids. You think God's not going to judge America? We've gone way, way over the top. We've gone too far over the line. The beast that you saw was and isn't, and here's the mind that has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Well, we know that Rome was the city of 7 hills. Now, some argue and say, well, the word in the Greek language is mountains, not hills. Okay. There are 7 kings. 5 have fallen, and 1 is. So, 5 have fallen, okay, they're gone. But 1's alive. The other, number 7, is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue just a short space. So there's some sort of a leader that's connected somehow with this part of the world. And it says, the beast that was, is not, even he is the 8th. He's of the 7. He'll go into perdition. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Now notice this. Which have received no kingdom as yet. So they have power as a king, and it seems to be a number that it's a unified area. In the 70s, when the European Common Market came into being, and there were 10 nations, prophecy buffs were saying, that's it, right there, it's Europe. Then you take the 7 hills of Rome, and you begin thinking, okay, so we can understand. I don't know that we've got it down yet, but we can understand that a part of the world is all going to be the central part of it. But just like this, where's America? Why isn't America anywhere in Bible prophecy? Most powerful nation in the history of the world. Financially, militarily, technologically, on and on, on and on. We're not going to be here. Now, if the Lord were to say tonight it's all over with, we're going to heaven. So we can figure these things out, or we could say, we're not going to worry about it. Either way. These have one mind. The ten horns, which you saw, are kings but have no kingdom. Otherwise, the political structure has not been set up yet, but shall receive power for 1 hour with the beast, so the Antichrist. So he's going to take these ten powerhouses, and they're going to control the world for him. Now, there is a book that's been out for a long, long time, and it talks about the division that's going on in the world now. It's been out for 3 or 4 decades, and it talks about 10 different separate areas. You notice we have a broken border? Does anybody even know that? You know that. Come on, give me some life here. All right. Okay, it's broken. Broken borders. Broken borders, Ezekiel 7, God says to his disobedient children, I shall judge the four corners of your land. Broken borders are judgment from God. So now you go back to the President Bill Clinton era, and we find out they signed some law called NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. North American Free Trade Agreement. That was the beginning of Canada, the United States, and Mexico being one of the 10 regions. And you look around the world and see how the coalitions have come together. There was supposed to be no borders. So Russia and China just come over and go into Venezuela, and millions of people were killed in the last few years in Venezuela and starved to death. And we lost all of our American investment in oil, and China and Russia took it over. And now, with all the poverty that communism has brought, ships are coming from Iran and delivering oil and going back to Iran with shiploads of gold bullion from the treasury of Venezuela. They've signed agreements in the last few days. This has been going on for some time, but they're now coming out in the public and say, we're going to collapse America. It takes 18 minutes for a missile to go from Venezuela and hit the harbor in San Diego. You know there were three United States aircraft carriers in our harbor. But then you take the submarine base of all the nukes on the Point Loma side, and you take just a strategy. When Bill Clinton was president, he gave the Chinese Long Beach Harbor. What? When people found out about it, they cut that deal off the news, and they're in Mexico, south of Ensenada, digging their own deep port. See, there's things going on that have nothing to do with we, the people, but the system is so powerful, and the devil knows his time is getting short. He's just ripping the Constitution up and ripping people up. You and I are the ones that God can use to rescue the victims called boys and girls, teenagers, grammys and grandpas, parents who have no idea about anything, by simply giving the cross to them and telling them what Jesus did on the cross, like for you and me, and let their hearts change. And the rest of this big picture stuff really doesn't matter. It's about you and I have been forgiven. How are we going to now live? What is our life and our language and our vocabulary and our attitude and our heart? What's it going to be like? Are we real Christians or are we phony balonies? It's a big picture, but it's ugly. It's eternal. And you and I have the answer to help these people that are all around us wherever we go every day. So that's the first part. The second part is chapter 18, and I'd like to point some things out there. First, let me go back to verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings. They haven't received their kingdom. These have one mind.
You've been listening to Pastor Mike McIntosh with a closing point of a teaching about the destruction of Babylon the Great. On the next chapter verse program, we'll pick up right here in Revelation chapter 17. Did you know that podcasts or chapter and verse teachings are available to download? That's right, you can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through this service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, it's easy and it's free. Just go to our website, mikemackintosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, available now at mikemackintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Please be with us next time as Mike continues his study on destruction of Babylon the Great. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.